Another blood-red sunset and yet another moon facing still another 100 miles to my next resting place. Driving down the road, eyes on the horizon, within my car I'm all alone, but feeling good and feeling strong, knowing that this path I'm on brings me to myself. I'm driving.
Hey Noel, I'm Joey C. Welcome back to another episode of Spirit Sherpa. This is the show that helps and encourages you on your journey to unlock your magic mojo. With me, as always, is the spirit doctor, Kelly Sparta. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Joey.
Today, we're going to get...
Jiggy with it.
Yeah, we're going to get jiggy. I was going to say we're going to get vocal. But I think jiggy with it works there. We're going to be talking about chanting today.
And trancing.
Now, so when I think of chanting specifically, and we'll get to trancing later, that to me is just like dance music, right? But chanting, we're not talking about just hell no, we won't go, hell no. That's not the type of chanting that I think has anything to do with spiritual journeys and spirit chirpa. What the heck are we talking about?
We're talking about usually very simple musical songs, if you will,
okay,
that are designed to bring about specific energies.
Okay.
Chanting is used for a variety of different things. In solo practice, it is used to bring certain energies into form. So, for instance, there's a chant that's just simply, I open, I receive. That's the entirety of the chant. And I would sing it for you, but my voice is trashed. So we won't do that. But there is a chant that's just simply, I open, I receive. And I spent 3 hours one day on a drive to Western Mass, upstate New York, just singing that. And I arrived radiant. I walked in and everyone stopped and stared at me. And I chanted it because I was coming into a Tantra retreat and I was half a day late. And I was like, oh, I better get my energy into the right place so that I can mesh.
Right.
And I sort of overshot. But you know, that chant alone, if you do it for a long period, will put you in a very different place.
Okay.
Energetically. And then there are chants that are gratitude based. You know, I've written a chant. It's Brother Tree, thank you for the shade. Sister Breeze, thank you for the blowing. Father Sky, thank you for the sun. Mother Earth, thank you for the knowing. And it's a very simple gratitude chant. And if you really are conscious of what you're singing as you're singing it, it will bring you into gratitude. So the chants are designed to bring you into a very specific energetic. In a group environment, chanting serves a different purpose.
Okay.
It can do the things that it does in a solo space, but it is more often used as a way to bring different people's energies together. Unless you have people who are highly trained, getting a group of people, especially in today's day and age where it's ADD hell, to focus in the same direction for any length of time is next to impossible, right? Unless they're highly trained, highly disciplined in their practice. So we use chanting. And so chanting, especially if it's a chant you don't know, you're trying to learn, focuses you on the intent of the words and focuses you on the intent of the music. And it brings your energy into alignment with the other people in the circle.
Okay.
And it allows you to connect your energy to them with a common intent.
So is it about the words? Or are the words the vehicle to reach the focus? It's not a magic spell, it sounds like. It's more...
It can be.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Right? So kirtan is very popular right now. And kirtan is basically chanting in Sanskrit.
Okay.
Right? So it's the same thing. It's just that you don't know what the words mean a lot of the time, which I don't particularly prefer. because if I don't know what it means, I don't want to be chanting it with intention with a bunch of other people.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's a safety thing for right. me. But, you know, if I get a translation and I understand what it means and I know that about it, then okay, that's fine. I don't really have anything against kirtan in general. It's just, I prefer to know what the words mean that I'm saying.
Yep.
Remember we talked about high magic and low magic in yep. an earlier episode, yep. right? So chanting in Sanskrit connects you into the high magic elements of that because you're chanting the same words that other people have chanted for generations.
Right.
Okay. And the people who started the chanting presumably knew what the words meant. And therefore, that energy has been carried forward all these years and you're tapping into that line of energy. Right.
Yep.
So it's not more or less powerful. It's just differently powerful. Mm-hmm. The power comes from a different place. It's mm-hmm. that you're connecting into each other, but you're also connecting into the historical line of the chant. And when you're doing chants that are in English or in a modern language,
yep.
presumably those chants have not been done for as long as the ones in ancient languages mm-hmm. because of the length of time the language has been around. But there are chants in the pagan community that have been done for decades by large numbers of people over time that you can tap into that same sort of energetic.
Right.
You know, Isis Astarte, that chant has been around forever. Mm-hmm. Earth, My Body, that chant has been around forever. There's Native American chants that are out there that much longer held, but, you know, they're translated into English. And so therefore, you know, you're kind of jumping the language yeah. difference. But, you know, if you're holding the intention, then you're probably okay mm-hmm. for tapping into that ancestral line. But the chants themselves have meaning. You know, one of my favorite chant CDs is Shauna Carroll's Goddess Chant.
Okay.
And I adore it because it's got some really great chants turned into songs. And so, you know, it's mostly a chant, but it's a little bit of a song. And so it sort of bridges that gap between just a simple chant and what we consider to be music, right? Okay. And it's got layers of different harmonies, and I love to harmonize, so it makes me happy. But there's that. And that one is very specifically goddess-based,
right?
Divine feminine.
Do you need to be musical to chant?
Not really. I mean, you need to be able to hold a tune.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it in a group setting,
yeah,
kind of, sort of, you got to be able to hold a tune. You know, as long as you have people on either side of you who can hold a tune, then, you know, they don't really care.
Yeah.
As long as you're not throwing off the people on either side of you, you're okay. Even if you can't hold a tune. My grandfather was notorious for being tone deaf. My mother used to describe it all the time. He'd say, I like this new song. It goes, baby, I love you. Yes, I do. Can you love me back? And and he'd get the rhythm wrong and everything, but he loved his music. So, you know, you could do it. It could happen.
All right. But, so what about trancing? What is trancing?
So trancing is it is the act of stepping out of your level of normal consciousness and into a meditative state that is, yeah, it really is. It's like it's trance is meditation in movement.
Okay.
And people don't often talk about it as meditation because meditation is like got all these barriers to get to it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my god, right? I got to stop thinking. I've got to stop thinking that I have to stop thinking, right?
Right.
It's that whole thing. And trance is for some people more easily accessible.
Okay.
Because it's a way to get out of your head and into your body.
Okay.
Okay. So meditation, it depends on the type of meditation that you're doing. For me, I tend to do a presence practice, which is about being fully present in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is my meditation, but it's not technically meditation because yeah. it's bringing yourself into presence with everything in your environment.
Right.
And presence and trance are much closer related than the traditional meditation and trance.
Interesting.
because the traditional meditation is more mental and spiritual, and the traditional stillness and trance practice are more of an embodied experience. So meditation is masculine, trance and stillness are more feminine.
Okay. Very interesting.
And so, but trance is about literally like letting go of your mind and allowing yourself to go with the flow of the music.
Okay. So it is.
Or the drums or, you know, whatever.
It is dance music. It's just not.
It is.
Like,
yeah. I mean,
just not a rave type dance music.
Well, I mean, it could be. Yeah. People trance to rave music.
Yeah.
I mean, it absolutely could be. If you turn it into a spiritual experience for yourself, you're trancing.
Oh.
So, you know, you're trancing regardless, but you can do a spiritual trance, right? You put your mind on the shelf,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're just having your experience in your body. We see this most often in pagan circles, in the drum circle,
mm-hmm.
where the dancers will come out and dance to the drums. And you have to watch people when they trance around a drum circle,
mm-hmm.
Because usually there's a fire in the middle.
Yeah.
And when you're tranced, you may not be aware of the fire because you're so aware of your body.
Yeah.
So that's where trance is different than presence.
Yeah.
Because, you know, presence will still, you know, the presence practice, you'll be intensely aware of the fire.
Right.
But trance, you're really in your body. You're inside your body. You're not really in your environment.
You fully exist in the moment, but not necessarily in your surroundings.
Exactly. And so I've seen tranced people fall into fires, and it's just not pretty.
No, that is not at all. Is the difference there between chanting and trancing the difference between the auditory aspect versus the physical movement aspect of chanting versus trancing?
Typically, if you're singing, it engages too much of your brain to fully trance.
Right.
So it's not... I mean, I tranced when I did I Open, I Receive.
Yeah.
For 3 hours. You know, after a while, you can put your brain on hold because you know what the words are and your voice knows what the notes are.
But you were driving, Kelly. It's not a good time to be trancing.
I was. But I can bilocate like that. I'm good. I can bilocate. I can have one part of my consciousness be fully aware of the environment around me and the other part of me be tranced out and blissed out. So, it's a skill. I've built over time. I don't recommend it. Don't do this.
Don't
try this at home.
Do not
try that at home. Driver on a closed course, you know. But if you can get to the point where it's rote like that,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't normally come until you've been doing it for at least 40 minutes.
Okay. Wow.
You know.
So it's really getting yourself there.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot to default it.
Mm-hmm.
I held a space at a ritual once where I would have been able to trance into it, but they had built it was a 4-line chant,
mm-hmm.
and it was written in the same meter as I Wish I May, I Wish I Might Have, I Wish I Wish Tonight. And it was, you know, black as day and dark of night, pull this something from my sight. And there, I don't remember what the last two lines were because my brain kept fighting to keep I Wish I May, I Wish I Might Have, This Wish I Wish Tonight out. So it just did not work. But if it had not been fighting for space that was already occupied by something else in my brain, we held that space for 2 hours.
Wow.
And so, you know, that one would have been, I would have tranced to that.
Yeah.
Had I not been constantly fighting to keep it to be the right lyrics. So, but yeah, this is the chanting. It's much harder to trance while chanting.
Right.
It's not the goal of chanting.
Right.
Most of the time.
Okay. So they're different there.
Yeah.
All right.
But they're music in ritual. And so, you know, when you have music in ritual, these are the two things that you generally come up against and that you generally, you know, run into, but that you run into. And I felt like it was relevant to mention them both at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we talk about chanting, and I've attended some of the sound healings that you do, is that related at all? Because that's sound, but it's not music necessarily.
It is sound, but it's not the same.
Okay.
Sound healing is it's using the vibrational energy of the sound to move energy in the body.
Okay.
For healing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different animal.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Awesome. All right. Do you have anything you want to sort of wrap up with? Because we're at a good point here with regards to tying out chanting and trancing for the folks at home.
What I would say is that if you're interested in chanting, what I would recommend is that you do some research online. Abigail Spinner is a very well-known writer of modern day chant.
Okay.
And she has some of the most beautiful chants I've ever heard. And she's got a bunch of CDs out. And so, and she's a wonderful human, so you should support her. again, Shauna Carroll's Goddess Chant, I love. And, you know, you can, if you do some searches, it's a little harder to find these days. There's been some stuff that's come up in the SEO for this. It used to be you could just do pagan chant as a search and it would show up with a whole bunch of archives from different organizations around the world. And that's not nearly as easy to do. But if you do dig, you can find it. I know that Earth Spirit Community in Massachusetts has, or last had when I looked, an archive of chants. Cool. And you can find those there. So if you look, there are places to find them. And the one, you know, fair warning is chants have been handed down as an oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, if you learn it from a CD or a recording online and then you go to an event and they're doing it differently, be prepared.
Yeah.
Because that's often the case. In fact, there was one song, I can't remember which one it was, one of the chants that I wanted to do an event recently and I went looking for a recording to put up for people to learn it in advance. And I could not find a single recording of it that was the way I had been taught it and had practiced it for the last 30 years. And there, you know, there's a huge community of people that I know who do it in that fashion. And there was not a single recording. I had to actually make a recording for the people that I wanted because I was not going to relearn it in a new way for the event that I was running. So, you know, just know that you will see the same chant in different iterations.
Right.
If you will. No. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, there you go, folks. That is all that we have for this week. We look forward to seeing you next time as Kelly adds yet another chapter into your beginner's guide to energy, magic, and the spirit world. I'm Joey C. here with Kelly Sparta, and you have been listening to Spirit Sherpa. So long, everyone.
Chant wide, chant loud, chant long.
Bye. Each mile I travel over 13,000 now, I'll leave behind a little fear.
Spirit Sherpa is the sole property of Kelly Sparta Enterprises and is distributed under Creative Commons BY-NC-ND 4.0 license. For more information about this licensing, please go to creativecommons.org. Any requests for deviations to this licensing should be sent to kelle@kellesparta.com. That's kelly@kellesparta.com. To sign up or to get more information on the programs, offerings, and services referenced in this episode, please go to kellesparta.com. This episode of Spirit Sherpa has been produced by Honu Voice Productions.
Home and my love and my life and me.
Are you waking up to the spiritual world and realizing that you have no idea what you're doing, but you feel like you kind of probably should, especially since you seem to be seeing things and feeling things and having things see you that maybe aren't so great, and that you might want to actually control your experience of that? Well, I have great news for you, because our Welcome to the Woo program does just that for you. It teaches you how to hold your energy field, manage your energy field, clear your energy field, protect your energy field, and learn how to protect your space. And you learn how to do basic divination and talk to your guides, so that you feel like you actually have a clue and have a way to talk to the guides that will help you to figure everything else out. And it teaches you how to make sure that you feel mentally, emotionally, and energetically safe. That means that we also deal with things like fear and anxiety and worry and dread and self-doubt and inner and outer judgments. And we help you build a foundation of self-support and courage. All of these things together create
a solid sense of safety in your own life. They will reduce your stress levels in half, guaranteed. So visit the website at kellysparta.com and find out more about the Welcome to the Woo program. Your future awaits.